We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Before we go to Brad, let me answer this. We had a texter ask about, did Sean Payton sign Pete Carmichael to his staff? Yeah, sure. He's a senior offensive assistant with the Broncos now, and he's sort of the go-between guy, similar to a position he was here with the Saints, where, I mean, you had two strong personalities with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and Pete Carmichael became the middleman to sort of sort everything out between it. So he's the middle guy and sort of calming everything down between the rookie quarterback and Bo Nix and Sean Payton. So, yes, Pete Carmichael is on the Broncos staff. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And on the line is host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hola, amigo. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it, but Brad, right off the bat, I'll ask you about Saints-Philly. That at one time, a week ago, Philly was a favorite in that game. Man, they didn't flip the script real quick. What happened, certainly, with the Eagles and what's happened here in New Orleans. And the second part of that is, how shocked are you with the success of this offense of the Saints? We all knew that defense special teams would be good. I don't think anybody envisioned how good this offense would be this season in the two games they played.
Yeah, it's been rather shocking. I'm floored at how well they have performed so far in the early season. And, you know, I think the Saints are going to keep on humming. You know, we all thought they go out there and throttle the Hello Kitties of Charlotte, also known as the Carolina Panthers, in week number one. Of course, they took care of business. I thought, okay, maybe it was smoke and mirrors. Maybe it's a bit of an anomalous performance offensively, given the meek opponent. And then they turn around and they throttle the Dallas Cowboys, a legitimate, viable defense, a true blue contender there in the NFC, at least so we thought. And they're like, okay, we got to reassess. This team is for real. Alvin Kamara, I think, is still scoring fantasy points for his managers that are out there. Rashid Shaheed has been incredible, a guy that's really expanded the route tree, getting it done, of course, down the field. He's averaging over 24 yards per catch, which is top five in the NFL. But a guy that's also getting it done in underneath coverage in the short field, the intermediate field, and really tearing up defenses. Taysom Hill's coming in, getting some quality touches there on the ground. You know, Derek Carr has just been really spreading the love, been very aggressive and assertive and efficient offensively in every facet. And it's only 2 weeks in. It's, you know, a small sample size. But when you look at the EPA data that's out there, they're number one in EPA offense, number two in EPA defense. That, my friend, is a formula for success.
I'll switch you to Saturday game now. Tennessee playing Oklahoma. I know one thing, man, the coach for Tennessee, he want to beat Oklahoma so bad. Kind of how it ended there, he was a guy that was a terrific quarterback there, and they went through all the just the nuances of exactly how he got to Oklahoma. And kind of, I think the feeling for him is, they made me a scapegoat. They cut me loose, and now he's at Tennessee. That Tennessee team is really good on the offensive side, the football, Brad. But surprisingly, they have played well on defense. They have a whole new secondary. I think that was the question mark for Tennessee coming into this season, how well they play on the back end. They have really played well there. Volunteers, Sooners, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding football game. And, you know, really Oklahoma, their calling card this year is not offense. It has certainly been on the defensive side. They're a team right now, number 24 in the nation, EPA per play defense. So they're getting it done, you know, shutting opponents down, limiting some three and outs. But, you know, Tennessee's a different animal, man. They're just firing all cylinders right now. I look at the books, the line pretty much static across the industry right now. BetMGM, Tennessee's a 7.5-point favorite on the road there against Boomer Sooner, and I think they're going to cover. I mean, they're bar none the best team, pound for pound, in all of college football. And, the data really backs it up. EPA per play offense, number two in the nation. EPA per play defense, number one in the nation. Similar to New Orleans Saints, just a team that is right now firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, I think the Vols, Smokey, is going to be rolling, and I think they're going to win maybe by 10 to 14 points is what I'm feeling there on the road against Oklahoma.
I think a lot of eyes will be on this game. USC, Michigan. Man, Michigan, they got the field wiped out with them. And USC, surprisingly, against LSU, they played better on the defensive side than I thought they would.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I knew they could score. Lincoln Riley's always had high-powered offenses, and Moss has done a great job at the quarterback position. Such a poised quarterback for a guy who was only – we saw him play. I mean, he had only had one game under his belt, and that was a bowl game. But he looked super down the stretch for the Trojans. Your thought, I think the line's around six, USC, Michigan.
Yeah, what version of Michigan are we going to get? You know, is this a team that we saw get run rush out over earlier this season? You know, they're at home. It's the big house. 100,000 enthusiastic fans are going to be packed in there. So, the home element is going to play a factor in some way, shape, or form. It may seem like way too many points, but I'm kind of laying the chalk here with the Trojans for the reason you stated. I mean, the fact they really showed up and showed out defensively against LSU and that high-powered offense. And right now a team, again, they have been tested, and they have been passing with flying colors, not only outstanding offensively, number seven in the nation EPA per play offense, but they're number 10 in EPA per play defense. So they have that balance. You can't say the same for Michigan. Offensively, they've looked inept at times. Defensively, not as strong as we've seen in years of recent past. Number 35 EPA per play defense nationally. Number 43 EPA per play offense nationally. Again, the home crowd will play a factor. Kind of, sways me a little bit. Maybe the side of Michigan plus six, but I think USC will take care of business, win this by a touchdown, and the all-important extra point by seven. They get the cover there on the road in Ann Arbor.
Cullen? Hey, Brad, Cullen here. We had another text on the text line come in asking, what would a $100 bet pay if the Saints win the Super Bowl at the present odds? I'm looking at Vegas Insider.
Who's I think got, there's somebody that got a hot $100 bill in,
hey,
his,
I'm not gonna,
in
hope,
his wallet
hope is
that
the word
he wants
of the day.
To put on the Saints.
I'm looking at Vegas Insider, and I'm seeing that the odds are ranging from, anything from like 3,000 to 3,500. What are you seeing over at BetMGM?
Yeah, right now at BetMGM, I'm pulling up the fresh numbers, so this is up to date. I'll even give you some of the other odds that are out there. To win the NFC South, they're plus money at plus 160, and I think that's worth firing a ticket off on right now. They should be able to take that division. We'll see what version of ATL shows up this week. Miraculous comeback against the Philadelphia Eagles, again, which I believe New Orleans is going to pick apart over the weekend. I would lay the chalk there in the 2.5. And take the over on 49.5 in that game. It should be bombs away for New Orleans yet again. For them to win the Super Bowl, a team that is sitting right now at plus 3,000, so 30-1 odds there at BetMGM, best odds in the industry. So if you want to fire off a ticket, I think at a minimum it's worth a sprinkle, and I'm sure that's going to be a slightly popular play down in your neck of the woods.
I think that's
some of the BetMGM affiliates. So
right,
yeah,
that's
New
just
Orleans,
a dude who got $100 he want to put down. Hey, just to have that ticket that say, "Hey, I got $100 on the Saints. Let me show you the ticket so he can show all his friends about it."
Yeah, brag away, man. And if it hits, you're going to put some fat cash into your pocket. That's going to buy a lot of beverages down there
on
Bourbon Street. And I'm a fan of Sazerac's, baby. So, belly at the bar with a fancy drink and drink with your pinky out if that is the case.
So you said, what were the Saints odds to win the division again? Was it 160, 165?
Yeah, plus 160, which I think it is enormous value right now.
Where are the rest? Obviously not counting the Panthers, I hate to say, but where do the Bucks and the
you
Falcons?
You don't want to throw your money away.
Where do the Bucks and the Falcons lie, though?
Yeah, the Bucks a little bit longer odds there, and I'm going to go ahead and pull this up, and let me see what Atlanta is sitting at in that same market. Again, and it's been adjusted here based on recency bias. But Atlanta to take the AFC South, they're sitting right now at plus 225. Tampa is at plus 200. So pretty tightly compacted. I mean, it's going to be a hotly contested division. There's no question about it. And we're going to see if, New Orleans is going to be flying those true colors and they're going to, you know, go on. I live by the rule of three. I need to see three games to really take away hard takeaways, concrete takeaways to a season's beginning for a certain franchise. So if they go out there and they take care of business against the Philadelphia Eagles and ground that team, and again, they should be able to because that is a very leaky, very susceptible defense, I would still fire off immediately a plus 160. But if you want that value, you better get that now, because if they do go out there and wax that you-know-what against Philadelphia, I think those odds are going to come tumbling down, probably going to be like plus 120, plus 110 for them to win the division come Monday morning.
Brad, a friend of mine who works in Vegas, and he told me, man, there's a lot of money flowing on this game. The Detroit Lions, who are 1-1, going up against the Cardinals, but it's how the Cardinals won last week that's got everybody's attention. Man, Kyler Murray, he was terrific in that game. And everybody asked about over 20 years in covering the Manning camp. Who threw the prettiest football? Kyler Murray. I told that to Colin Cowherd years ago. I think he uses it today. He threw the prettiest football that you could imagine. I mean, it was what you would draw it up to be. He's having a really good season. Your thoughts, Lions, Cardinals? Because I'll be honest, the Saints win against the Cowboys, shockingly, how it turned out. Not that they would have maybe win, but how it turned out. The biggest shock to me, Tampa goes to Detroit with a beat-up football team, and they lay it to Detroit and come out of there with a win.
Yeah, look, I think it's a bit of a trap game for Detroit. They're on the road against those Desert Birds, who we all thought would be kind of dungeon dwellers, really, yeah, for much of the season. But, look, Kyler Murray came out, and he's like, I don't have to force-feed Marvin Harrison Jr. the football at all. Then straight away, like, first bomb of the game, into the hands of Marvin Harrison Jr. for six. Then it happened again, and it happened another time. I mean, it's just repeatedly wasting away to that secondary that we saw last week off the hand of Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, they're more than Harrison Jr. with Trey McBride there, Greg Dortch doing the dirty work underneath. You know, Michael Wilson's made some key catches as well. And James Conner has had a bit of a revitalization, a renaissance of sorts, a guy that's looked great. Run the football, catching the football, the backfield defense is overachieving right now. I like Detroit, though, in a bounce-back spot coming off their loss. I think Jared Goff is going to move in the right direction. And watch out for Sam Laporta. He's been ultra-quiet these first 2 weeks of the regular season. This seems like a breakout performance against an Arizona secondary that is number 21 so far this young year in EPA per play on defense via the pass. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to eat. I think Sam Laporta's going to eat. Got that 1-2 punch. Jahmyr Gibbs and Mandatory Montgomery, Dave Montgomery on the ground. I like Detroit minus 2.5, but that is going to be a fun, fireworks-filled game down in the desert.
The other game I think Saints fans will be watching, because they're 2-0 also in the NFC South, Tampa Bay Bucks, Buccaneers play the Denver Broncos. And Broncos' defense is pretty good, but, man, they got to get something started on the offensive side of football here. And I know you're going through the growing pains with Bo Nix. But, man, Tampa Bay, they find a way to win. It might not be the prettiest way to do it, but with Baker, they have found a way to win. Your thoughts? Because I think this game, I think maybe at one time was 7, and I think it's maybe went to 6. Now I think it's at 6.5. Your thoughts, Tampa, Denver?
Yeah, 6.5. It's a really interesting contest, to say the least. And the Broncos, I think, are playing better defensively than most of us expected. Middle of the pack right now, a lot of the EPA data that's out there. You know, pretty strong secondary overall. But offensively, they're just inept. You know, underachieving greatly. Yeah, Bo Nix is certainly a work in progress. A lot of RPO plays. He is a dual threat quarterback, but he's not really is stretching the field at all. Cortland Sutton has been on a side of a milk carton in witness protection, seemingly, as well. You know, Javonte Williams underachieved in that backfield. Jaleel McLaughlin's made a couple splashy plays to really not move the meter. They're just not moving the ball effectively and efficiently down the field. Meanwhile, Tampa, man, they're just lighting up the opposition. Chris Godwin being reinserted in the slot has, you know, just injected new life into his career. He's been unstoppable the first couple of weeks. We know what Mike Evans can do, stretching field, my cousin. I got all the LinkedIn athleticism, I think, in the Evans family. Really getting it done. And, of course, you got Bucky Irving in that backfield to go Rashad White. So a formidable 1-2 punch. And Baker, the touchdown maker, has been just shredding defenses. I think it's the story of the offense. They should outscore Denver with ease. I do worry on the defensive side. Tampa has missed on a couple of key players that defensive backfield. And Vita Vea is highly questionable, listed as day-to-day. If he does not go, this might be the game that Denver finally can do something, anything on the ground.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it. And we'll have you back next Wednesday. Appreciate it, all your time and your efforts.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Good luck to you.
All righty. Thank you, Brad.